What great news! For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Salvation, as we sung, has been born. Salvation. I mean, when you think about salvation, most of the time, especially in the church, when we think about salvation, we're thinking about being saved by God, coming to faith in Christ. But that word is used in a lot of different ways. And if you think of the word deliverance, the various ways it's used. A lot of people talk about salvation in a general way. Sometimes like just deliverance from a dangerous situation, like you saved my life, or the medicine saved my life, or the doctor saved my life, or if somebody warns you of a scam, you know, you saved me a fortune. The Bible does that too, and it uses the same word for salvation in a general way. But when we speak of the salvation of our souls by Jesus, we're talking about rescue from our most important, highest problem, which is sin and its power, its penalty. Someday its presence. Being delivered by Jesus, being rescued by Him from sin and its penalty, from sin and its power, from sin and its presence, its practice. Eventually, there will be no sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. We will be set free to worship God in purity forever. New heavens and the new earth. We're going to finish our mini-series today, and we've spent, as we've been ramping up to Christmas, we've spent all of our time in one verse, and that same verse we're looking at today, in verse 11 of chapter 2, and we've looked at the glory of the baby in the manger. We've looked at the glory of Christ as the Messiah, the Christ, where it says, the Lord. Even at His birth, He was Lord. And we've talked a lot from different passages about His deity. I'll point you back to that. We've talked about Him being God and man. One Savior, one person, the God-man who came to save us. And today I just want to focus on one little word in that verse as we finish up. It says, unto you is born this day in the city of David, Joseph being a descendant of David and Christ coming in fulfillment to the promises of David, that He would have a descendant on the throne forever. In 2 Samuel 7, if you want to read about the Davidic covenant. But we're going to focus on where it says, in the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. Savior. A Savior has come. Salvation has been born. And it is great news for great joy to all the people, not just the Jewish people. The gospel has gone out from the Jews to the whole world as Christ has come. So what is the great news? We'll talk. Who is the Savior? Why did He come? I mean, very simple message. I am to preach a shorter sermon this morning. Pray for me. I will try. I'm not good at preaching short sermons. But the main point, Jesus is the only Savior who came to save us from our sin. So that the first, the identity of the Savior, we're given really in this verse who He is. It says, a Savior who is Christ, the Anointed One, Messiah, Greek, Christ, the Lord. Christ. The Lord. And what does it mean when it says a Savior? That word means simply one who rescues. One who saves. One who rescues. You were born into this world needing rescue. You cannot save yourself. You could never be good enough to save yourself. You can never pay enough money to save yourself. You can never read enough. You cannot save yourself. You don't do your best and God makes up the rest. Jesus is either your Savior fully or not. Because everything we contribute to our salvation would pollute it. Our justification before God. But a Savior, one who has come to rescue us. It's good news because this one will achieve our salvation. It has been planned before there was a molecule. We talked about that. It's been achieved in Christ and will be applied by the Spirit through the gospel. But Jesus is the only one who can rescue you from your biggest problem, which is you. You are your biggest problem. Not the people around you. No matter how nasty and mean they are. You were born into this world with your biggest problem. And Christ has come. He's the long-awaited Messiah. Think about it. All the way back from Genesis 3:15, when one who was promised would come who would crush the serpent's head. And they kept thinking it was He had come. But not fulfilled until Jesus. All of the Old Testament being about Him and pointing to Him through direct prophecy or through the sacrifices and the ceremonies, all pointing to this one who would come, long awaited. Virgin, conceiving and bear a son whose name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Unto us a son is given. We looked at Isaiah 9:6. It's Christ. All through the Old Testament. The suffering servant. The Messiah to come. And the angels burst the sky open. And they appear to shepherds in a field. Not over the temple. Not to those in high authority. But the angels visit the lowly and tell them, He's here. And it was an awesome experience. And you would have been freaked out too. And they would have had to say, don't be afraid. Can you imagine the sky lighting up with angels and you remaining conscious? Well, the old King James does say there that they were sore afraid. They were so scared it hurt. They were probably face down. Didn't know what was going on. But then they suddenly are in the midst of a heavenly worship service and the angels telling them that the Savior you've been waiting for is here. Go see. And they went to see. And they found it to be true. And Mary and Joseph, they are struggling through a birth, right? And they know the promises that have been made. And then these guys come in, these shepherds come in and report this. I mean, imagine the awe. The awe of that. Wow. It says Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Joseph was just standing there with his mouth hanging open. Unto you is born this day a Savior. The Lord of glory in the manger. Well, it says right there. Now look at it. It says a Savior. At least in that passage, it doesn't use the definite article and say the Savior. So does that mean there's more than one? Maybe this one will work out for you. There are others, but maybe this one will work. Well, if we do our work right and we compare Scripture with Scripture, we see that really this a Savior, this Son of David, this Christ, this Lord who has come is the Savior. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. There's one true and living God. And one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. There's one who can reconcile. There's one who can deal with your sin. And it's Jesus. Mary was an important lady, but she's not a mediator. She's not a co-redemptrix. Don't worship her, don't pray to her. She would tell you that. She said her Savior had been born and was coming in her Magnificat. Jesus Himself in John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Lest you think there may be another way to be saved. It is Christ and Christ alone. Peter preaching after the healing of the lame beggar and the trouble that got them into with the Jewish authorities and he's reporting to them and they're examining, they brought them in and they're questioning them. And Peter says this, he says in Acts 4:10 or 12, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. I love that boldness. Whom God raised from the dead. By Him this man is standing well before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. Pointing back to the Old Testament, right? The builders, which has become the cornerstone. And look at this. Peter, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name, no other person, no other way of salvation. You said, that's narrow, I know. It's not my narrowness, it's God's. He has provided a Savior, and if you will be saved, He expects you to go to Him. If you reject Him, you will not be saved. And you will stand and answer for your sin by yourself. You say this all the time. We got it. I want you to keep it. Martin Luther said he preached the gospel to his people every week because they forgot it every week. This Savior must not be belittled by just adding Him to the list of Saviors. He didn't give us that option. He was either a liar, lunatic, C.S. Lewis famously pointed out, or He is Lord, and He is Lord. His resurrection proves that to be true. Acts 17:30-32. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands. Notice He's not suggesting that you turn to Christ and trust Him. He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. That's Jesus. And of this He has given assurance or proof to all by raising Him from the dead. And when they, and this is the same thing that happens today when the gospel is preached. Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." Some mocked and others believed, but it didn't change the fact that it was true. Best proved fact in history is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they saying? What are the angels saying? The rescuer has come. The one who will rescue. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the one you've been waiting on has come. And see, in that day there was this... the political concerns had overshadowed the spiritual concerns. That never happens in America in the church, but... in that day, the people were looking for a Messiah who would come and deliver them from the boot of Rome and from the oppression of Rome. They were looking for a political deliverer who would make life easy, who would deliver them from the ones who had them under their boot. And so a great many missed it because they were looking for a political deliverer. Jesus didn't turn out to be that, so they didn't think He was the one. But no, the Savior who would come and deal with our biggest problem, who would free us from our most important and most horrible slavery in sin. The one who came to deliver us from the wrath of God that we so richly deserve. There is one risen Savior, and it is Jesus. And secondly, so what is His mission? Quickly. This Savior who has come, what is His mission? Well, we've already used one word, rescue. He came to rescue us. We need rescue, and Jesus came to rescue us. In fact, the reason He was named Jesus tells us what His mission was. Look at this. In Matthew 1:21, Mike read it. It said that she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Hebrew, Yeshua, Joshua. It might help you see some pictures in the Old Testament. Because He will save His people from their sins. That's why He came. To save His people from their sins. See, our biggest problem is not sickness. Our biggest problem is not poverty. Our biggest problem is not broken relationships or broken cars. Those are all the misery that accompanies our biggest problem. The biggest one of those being death flowing because of sin that entered by one man. But it says, the angel telling Joseph, it's okay, Joseph. Mary is pregnant of the Holy Spirit. Marry her and name the baby Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Name Him the Lord is salvation, because He will save His people from their sins. In other words, listen, Jesus came to save you from yourself. You are your biggest problem. And listen, you cannot blame your sin on any of the people around you. People do that. Well, if they would just, then I would. Stop it. He did. He says. See, we are our biggest problem. Sin is our biggest problem. Everything that dishonors God and destroys our souls and produces all of the accompanying misery in this world is our problem. What is sin? It's an easy little short word to speak, isn't it? What is sin? Any lack of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. Any failure to measure up or breaking of a command is sin. And listen, it's not just external actions. It starts in the heart. So if I fail to always think the right things about God and about this world, about me, I've sinned. Certainly if I think the wrong things I have. If I speak the wrong things I've sinned. But if I fail to speak the right things I should speak, it's sin. And certainly with my deeds, if I don't do perfect righteousness and obedience to His commands, or I fail to and do wickedness, that is sin. Sin is everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect embodiment of righteousness in the world. The soul that sins shall die. And that means more than physical death. This is spiritual death, eternal death, hell. You say, wow, this is encouraging for a Christmas message. You may never come back, but you will not be able to say you hadn't heard the truth. There's no other God, and we are not to worship another God. First commandment. No false worship. No taking His name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Everything, all of the other, it flows out as that law was applied to Israel and the nation was set up, and then, you know, Christ comes in fulfillment of the Mosaic covenant and we have a new covenant now. But that hasn't made His commandments go away, and that hasn't made sin okay. Our biggest problem is our lack of love for God, if you want to put it that way. Because the fulfillment of the law is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourself. And then Jesus amps it up when He says, love one another as I have loved you. That self-sacrificial love we've talked about. See, sin is disobeying God. It's dishonoring God. And that's our problem. And it flows out of the garden when Adam and Eve decided they wouldn't look to God for their authority. They would be their own authority and listen to Satan and disobeyed God. Rejecting Him as their Lord and as their authority, and in sin, they found themselves separated from God, and He graciously sacrificed an animal and clothed them and pointed them to the one who would come. But sin is our problem. And listen to me, look at me, sin is deceptive, sin is tricky, just like the devil is tricky. And Scripture is real about that. Listen, Scripture in Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, woman, boy, or girl. There's a way that feels right. There's a way that seems right to a person. But if it's in opposition to God and His commandments, it says, the end is the way of death. There's a way that feels right. It might even look right to you. As far as you can think it out, this would be better. And yet you clearly see it's a violation of God's command. It's law. Holy law. Righteous law. It is what Christ was and is and lived out. And what we're to be like. And yet We go by our feelings, or we want to be free from certain circumstances, and we decide something else is better for us. And it may feel good in the moment. It may even seem to be pragmatic and work in the moment. But if it's violation of His commands, it's not working for you. And you will answer for that before a holy and a righteous God. Christ came to save us from our sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages, or the payoff, the payout of sin is death. Yes, physical death. More than that, spiritual death. And then death to your relationships. Death, the wages, what we're due for our sin, is death, is wrath, eternal death. But look at this amazing statement. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, and that's what we should have paid. We were born owing God death. Eternal death. But look at this. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All of our righteousness, filthy rags. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot contribute to our salvation other than the sin that makes it necessary. But the Rescuer has come, born humbly in a manger, taking the news humbly to the shepherds, that the Savior has come, the one who was the true Savior, who would not just deliver us from political problems, but deliver us from our biggest problem, which is sin and the wrath that it pays. What did Jesus do to rescue us? Well, everything He did was to rescue us. Yes, everything He did was to the glory of God the Father in obedience to His law. His food was to do the will of the Father. His love for the Father, impeccable. But in fulfillment to the covenant of redemption, He comes to assume our place, to take on a true human nature, and to live for us first. See, somebody had to keep God's law and keep it perfectly if we were going to have a righteousness that would stand the test of judgment. And none of us have that. So Jesus came and He lived as a man in fulfillment to God's law perfectly. Think about that. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. You want to know what holiness looks like? Read the Gospels. He never thought the wrong thing. He always thought the right thing. He never said the wrong thing. He always said the right thing. He never did the wrong thing. He always did the right thing, because His ultimate affection was tied to His Father. And He lived for His glory, but He also lived for our good, providing a perfect righteous record in thought, word, and deed. And then He came also not just to live for us. This baby was born, this Savior was born to die. And not just a physical death. As horrible as His physical death and the beating and all of the things He endured, as horrible as His physical death was, it was nothing compared to the spiritual suffering that He took on for us. He took eternal hell for every one of His people who had been given to Him before the foundation of the world, who would trust Him in this life. He died physically. He died spiritually. Now, the divine nature didn't die, but that's another discussion. He came to pay the penalty. And on that cross, having drank that cup of wrath dry, He said before He died, physically, it is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. All of the debt of my people to my righteousness, my justice, has been paid by Me, He would say. He paid it all. And He did it for His people. He died. He was buried. And this baby born to be our Savior gloriously rose victorious on the third day, blew the tomb apart, appeared to His disciples who were hiding and trembling and afraid they were next, set them on fire for Him and changed the world through them, appeared to over 500 people at one time. Best historical accounted event is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to bless us and to give us His salvation as a free gift. Through faith. Justification by faith alone, even repentance, is a fruit of faith. We're to turn and trust in Jesus. Repentance and faith, all one coin. Conversion. What must I do to be saved? Believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. But He came to bless us by turning us from our sin. He doesn't just leave us in the problem. Look at how Peter, and Peter's preaching to the people who saw the lame beggar healed. And so they're, wow, what's going on here? And Peter's preaching, and this is part of what he says in chapter 3, before he has to appear, he and John have to appear before the authorities. He says this in Acts 3:25-26. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, now look at this, in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In your offspring shall all the peoples of the earth be blessed. God, now look at this, God having raised up His servant, sent Him to you first, you Jews. He sent Him to you first before it goes out to the world. He sent you first to bless you. Notice it said all the families of the earth will be blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? What is the primary problem? Look at this. To bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. To bless you by turning you from your sin. Through the gospel, the good news that Christ came to live for us, to die for us, and to be raised from the grave. And He has seen to it that you have heard the gospel preached, and the Spirit attends the preaching of that word to give life to His people and to create faith in their hearts so that they turn from trusting in anything else and trust in Jesus alone for their salvation. When we trust in Christ, when we believe into Christ, we are cleansed from all of our sin through His sacrifice. But it's better than that. It's not just as though I had never sinned. That's only half of it. His righteousness is counted or credited to our account. So it is just as though we had always loved God by obeying His law. So we come, He preached the gospel, we're through faith united to Christ, we're declared righteous on the basis of Christ because His righteousness has been credited to us. We're adopted into God's family as His children, and then from that point on we're being grown in grace. And growth in grace is being turned from our sin, turned from everything that dishonors God, turned from trusting in this world or people or this anything else other than God that for your joy. But He came. Notice the mission of Jesus was to come and destroy the works of the devil, Scripture says, and to come and bless you. To bless you by turning you from your sin. To bless you in your heart so that you see His glory as ultimate. So that you see your sin as evil. And so that you desire to turn from it and joyfully obey Him because of His grace in your life. Have you received the free gift of this Savior? The one who came to set you free from the penalty of your sin. The one who, having done that, is breaking the power of sin in your life. So that you're growing more and more in practicing righteousness. And someday will remove the presence of sin from your life. See, what we tempted to do is just take Jesus and tack Him on to our lives. I'll come Sunday, I'll hear the Word, I might give some money, but don't tell me what to do the rest of the week. If that's your Savior, He doesn't exist. This Jesus, this Lord, this Christ who came to save us is Lord. And He's Lord of every aspect of your life and every day of your life. Sure, you fall short, but you run to Him and cry out to Him because you hate it. But are you trusting Jesus to set you free from your sin? Its penalty? Yes, and then we stop there. Hallelujah, I'm not going to hell. That's a good thing. But if Jesus has truly saved you, He's given you a new heart. A heart that loves Him and wants to walk like Him. And will be grieved when you fall short of that. And you will fall short. But He didn't come to justify our sin. He came to justify His people and set them free from their sin. Jesus came as a humble servant. But He's not coming that way the second time. He's coming back. He's going to split the sky as a glorious King. And I hope and I pray that before that day or before the day of your death, and hopefully today, let it be the first day, that you trust Christ and you rest in Christ and you say to Him and to God, not my will, but yours be done. You having done that for me, I am now yours. Be glorified in me. Use me to tell others about this glorious news. See, through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, all put in motion before time, but as He entered into taking on a human nature through the womb of the Virgin Mary, born of a virgin, yes, born of a virgin, and laying in that manger, He was Lord who came to live, to die, and to be raised again to save His people and to set us free from our sin. Salvation, big picture in the Bible, is loving Jesus.
Yes.
And He Himself says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's also trusting Jesus. It's delighting in Jesus. And it's following after Jesus. And it's desiring for others to know this Jesus. So it's being on mission for Him. How about you? Just want Jesus to stamp your ticket to heaven, but other than that, pretty much to leave you alone? I'm sorry. That's not true salvation. If He's at work in your heart, He will work in your heart to trust Him and to believe the gospel that you're forgiven for all your sins and clothed in His righteousness. But He'll also put a passion in you for His glory so that you'll want to live for Him. Do you want to live for Jesus? Is Jesus the most important thing in your life, person in your life? If not, you need to think about that. This Savior, this Messiah, came as Lord and to be Lord. And everything He commands us is for His glory and for our good. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Stand in awe of Him that He would condescend so far from the glories of heaven to come into this world and to be born in a humble estate to save His people, to live under His own law, fulfilling it, to die to pay the penalty that we deserve and to be raised from the grave. Trust in Jesus. Maybe you never trusted in Jesus. You don't even know, well, what do I do? All the people on TV tell me I got to pray this. Have mercy on me, a sinner, the tax collector said. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in Jesus. You can cry out to Christ, Lord, save me. I trust in You. No perfect way to say that. But you're not saved by your prayer. You're saved by faith and through faith, which God gives you in Christ. And the prayer simply reveals the heart change that has happened. Trust in this Savior. This might be your last day on this planet. Or this may be the day when your heart is permanently hardened. I don't know. But He came to save us and His grace is offered to you. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, His Son. Will you have Him? Will you trust Him? He is the only way and the only Savior and the only salvation. Born of a virgin, Lord, at His birth. Let's pray. Lord, help us to love You because You have loved us first. Help us to trust You. Help us to rest in You. And to believe the glorious good news of Your grace. Wow! Take Your gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised the third day, and that it's through trusting in Him that we have eternal life. Take Your gospel and save Your people. And Lord, free us from any shallow and false gospel. but the true gospel that gives your people a new heart to follow you. Thank you for coming to bless us and to bless us by turning us from our wickedness. Lord Jesus, you have bought us for yourself through your death and resurrection. Help us to adopt that mindset that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Thank you for the full and free gift of salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.